John chapter 11, for our scripture reading, we have the pleasure of reading from God's precious word several of these verses. We'll begin in verse 1. John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and his... Let's reread that. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Verse 3. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he dropped what he was doing, and he went immediately to go. No, it doesn't say that. It says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, what did he do, beloved? Verse 6. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into, where? Into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou hither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Who is the light of this world? Jesus Christ. Verse 10. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Verse 12. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Notice this, beloved, verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave, how many days? 4 days already. Verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. That's roughly 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, next word. Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it? It is. Lord and if just don't go together. But he ministers to her, as he would her sister, in just a moment. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and called for thee. And as soon as she heard that, as soon as Mary heard that, she arose quickly. Children, slow obedience is no obedience. She arose quickly and came unto him. Verse 30, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, next word, just like her sister, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And beloved, that's true. If Christ had been there, Lazarus would not have died. That's what he had just told the disciples, was it not? He said, I am glad. Remember what he told the disciples. Just go back there quickly. In verse 15, he says, I am glad for your sakes, disciples, that I was not there. For what purpose? To the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go. Let us go unto him. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore... So Mary says the same thing as her sister. Verse 32, Lord, if thou hast been here, thou, my brother, had not died. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. We'll define why he weeps, beloved, in the message. Verse 36, then said the Jews, behold, he loved him. Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Yes, he could have, but he chose not to. And why did he choose not to? Verse number 4 again, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them, next three words, went their ways. They went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Beloved, let's take our Bibles, turn again to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 4. Resurrection reality, Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter 4, we read in the earliest words of this chapter, beginning in verse 1. And as they, what, beloved? As they spake. What were they doing? They were preaching and teaching the Word of God. They were giving the gospel message out. In fact, they were preaching the resurrection. Look at verse 1 again. As they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees, they came upon them. Verse 2, being grieved. Being grieved. Schofield helps us out with the meaning of this phrase, these two words. They were sore troubled. Being sore troubled. That they taught the people and preached through Jesus what? The resurrection from the dead. Now, beloved, those of us by the grace of God that love Him who first loved us, who He has made new creatures in Christ, we've been born from above, we love the gospel message. It's a changing message. You think about the book of Acts. Just the overview again, we mentioned this when we began this book study many, many months ago, even back into probably 2012. The book of Acts covers some 35 some odd years, three plus decades, maybe three and a half decades. The gospel spread from Jerusalem. That's where it is here, where we are now in our study, in the early parts of this book. It goes from Jerusalem to Samaria and beyond, to Syria, to Arabia, Asia Minor, Greece, Macedonia, Italy, Spain, Africa, and beyond. In the period of 3.5 decades, roughly. Churches being established in major cities of the world, including Rome itself. And even in those the gospel permeated the villages, those desert places, the remote islands, the jungles, various places that we see throughout this book. where the gospel reaches. The gospel message saves a multitude of people that we read of here. Those from the lowest part of society, those of the highest, and all in between, various parts in society. It reached men and women, Jews and Gentiles, Greeks and barbarians, bond and free, rich and poor, young and old, rulers and common folk, educated and uneducated. And beloved, the gospel we see every time, every single occurrence, the gospel message creates the most dramatic changes in people's lives. Their character changes. Thieves were made honest. Fornicators were made moral. Drunkards were made sober, and so forth. We're not to the Apostle Paul yet, but Saul of Tarsus, a murderer, one who thought he was doing the will of God, is going to go from the persecutor to the persecuted. Again, an amazing, eternal change, all because of the gospel. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. People turning from false religion, all kinds of false doctrine, giving up wealth and station, giving up peace to bear reproach for the glory of Christ, to suffer reproach even from their neighbors, from their loved ones, many even facing death. Stephen, when we get to chapter 7, will be martyred, the first martyr, the one that we read of. How is this brought to pass? Is it not the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it not His death, burial, and resurrection? It is. And so the very message that the Apostle Peter here, back to Acts chapter 4, the one that he is preaching, is the very message that these Jews needed. And we do thank God that though persecution occurred, that God used that persecution to further spread the gospel message. And we'll see that as we continue in our study and some time to come here. But what a blessing it is, and again in verse 4, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. But I want you tonight, beloved, to zero in on the lives of the Christians, the lives of Peter, for example, and John. Those disciples, not just those, but we read of the other saints, the church at Jerusalem, as they were of one accord and they interceded for the apostles. They prayed that God would give them boldness to continue to preach the word, and God answered that prayer immediately, and it would continue to do so. But how is it? How is it that they were able to stand in the midst of such hardship and trial and tribulation? Beloved, it's because of the very message that Peter was preaching, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse number 2 again. "Being grieved," this is the Sadducees. These were the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees. "They were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." The very message, the gospel message that would change their hearts, that would change them. But they rejected. Let's take our Bibles and turn just quickly to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. You see, beloved, Peter was simply preaching the same message that Jesus Christ preached while on earth. By the way, Jesus Christ is the gospel. Mark chapter 12. I love this. Verse 18. Mark 12, verse 18 says, "Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die, and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother." Yes, indeed, that was the teaching of the law of God. Verse 20. "Now there were 7 brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed." Verse 21. "And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the 7 had her, all the brothers had her, and they left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also." Now, the very ones who mocked the resurrection, the Sadducees, the skeptics of the day, those who denied the miracles of God. Again, Christ said, "Beware of the doctrine of the Sadducees." He said, "Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. Beware of the doctrine of the Sadducees." He would also say, "Beware of the doctrine of the Herodians." Interesting study there, by the way. But the very ones who denied the resurrection then come to Christ and attempt to trip him up, which is impossible, and says, "Okay, Lord, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? Verse 24, Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err? Because, read the next few words for me. Keep going. Yes. Christ says, Do ye not err? Because you know not the Scriptures, neither do you know the power of God. What Scriptures? Well, He's going to tell them. He's going to tell them. He's going to point them to the Mosaic Law. He's going to point them to the Pentateuch. Specifically, He's going to point them to the book of Exodus. Look at verse 25. And when they, Christ speaking, and when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels, which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, what did God say? I am the God of Abram. By the way, I believe this is Jesus Christ speaking. And so Christ refers them back to a very passage where he in pre-incarnate form ministered to Moses. He now takes them right back to that moment. They claimed to love Moses and follow Moses, but of course they did not. They knew not Moses. He would say that in the Gospel of John chapter 5. If you believe Moses, you'd also believe me because Moses wrote of me. He says, he points them to the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto them, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Verse 27, He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. Ye do greatly err. The Sadducees had no excuse for not believing the resurrection. The Bible spoke of the blessed resurrection. And of course, Christ is the resurrection. Christ is the resurrection. Now, if you would, go back to John, where we were in our scripture reading, John chapter 11. John 11. We see the unbelief of the Sadducees. When the Bible says he came into his own things, and his own people, the Jewish people, they received him not. That included the Sadducees. They were of Jewish descent. But what about the disciples? Specifically the 11 disciples that believed. Now we realize Judas Iscariot, though he was one of the 12, he was not a believer. Had opportunity, the same opportunity that the other 11 had, but he rejected light, as did the Sadducees. Well, how about those 11? And how about Mary? And how about Martha? Believers. Did they need an adjustment? Yes. Yes. Do believers need adjustments? Child of God, earlier in our study, maybe 3 weeks ago, we mentioned how God uses the hard times in our lives, the trials and the testings and the tribulations in the lives of His people to bring the greatest blessings. And of course, there's no greater example than that of Calvary, how Christ died, the greatest crime in all human history, and yet God worked it out, turned it into the greatest blessing of all. And so we realize that. But yet, we also looked at the fact that God does not take for granted that His children will do the right thing. Because what happens oftentimes is they do grow weary in well-doing. What happens oftentimes is that believers grow discouraged during the persecution, during the trouble. When just the opposite should be the case, we should count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations. Oftentimes we don't. We don't. And so here, understandably, their brother dies. And they're sorrowing. They're sorrowing. But before we get to the two sisters, let's look again at the disciples. John chapter 11, the Lord tells them in verse 4, He says, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha, and loved her sister, and he loved Lazarus. We don't do altar calls until the end. So. Okay. Verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now we know this, beloved. God is never early and he's never late. Amen? He's always right on time. So the fact that Jesus Christ abode still 2 days, it was right. It was perfect. It was just what was needed. You see, the Lord was going to make it very clear that Lazarus was dead. He was not in a coma. He was not on the verge of death. No, he had been dead many days, 4 days specifically, by the time he raised him from the dead. But he wasn't just zeroing in on Lazarus or on his two sisters. He was focusing on that which the disciples were lacking. And specifically, or plainly stated, beloved, it was the sin of unbelief. It was the sin of unbelief. When we get to the fact in verse 35 that Jesus wept, he's not weeping because Lazarus died. He is weeping because of the unbelief of the people. He had performed so many miracles before them. Now, to the Jews, yes, and word had circulated. The wonderful works of God had been proclaimed and had been announced. Did you hear about what he did there? Did you hear about what he did in Galilee? Did you hear about... And so the word was circulating. His fame was growing, the Bible says. But yet, in spite of all of that, most would continue to reject. But how about the disciples? How about the 11 who were with him for all those miracles? Firsthand, all the way to the very beginning when he began his public ministry. In John chapter 2, the first public miracle when he turned that water to wine. Yes, he did it to strengthen their faith, and he did. But there was something lacking drastically in the lives of the 11. And it would continue. It would continue for some time. Not forever. And so back to where we looked in verse number 7. It says, After that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And goest thou thither again? What do you have that? What do you have there? You have unbelief. You have unbelief. You have believers focusing on the circumstances. You have believers focusing on the hardships, the situations. And child of God, let's be honest, we do that all the time. We do it. We need to recognize it. We need to see it for what it really is. Oh, yes, we look at this account and we see the way Christ encourages them and teaches them, instructs them, even rebukes them, and we're blessed. But beloved, he does the same with us. He is faithful. And I trust that we are learning and that we're growing and that we're, the next time the hardship comes, whatever it may be, that situation that is, it appears to be the most impossible of things. But we know whom we believe. We know, we're persuaded that he is able. Amen? Amen. You see, we serve a risen Savior, and the life that he has given us is not only eternal life, it's the abundant life. And so we need to walk in that life. We need to walk in the power of his resurrection. Paul prays that. We looked at that in our Bible school class this morning. We prayed every Wednesday night that I may know him. The Apostle Paul believed in him already, but he wanted to know him more. He wanted to have a greater knowledge of Christ because he wanted to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That I may know him, that I may know the power of his resurrection, that I may know the fellowship of his what? Of his sufferings. And that's how we're conformed to the image of Christ, conformed to his death specifically. His disciples needed this instruction. Lord, they're going to kill us. Even Thomas. Good old Thomas. Thomas says, okay, guys, fellow disciples, let's go die with him. Let's go die with him. Did the Lord stop him right there in his tracks? Smack him? No. Could have. But he didn't. He was going to show him. He first, though, gives them this lesson, verse 12. And these are very important words, as is all of Scripture. Jesus answered, verse number 9, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world." They needed more light, and Christ was giving them more light. And He was going to help them with their unbelief. He was going to take them from point A to point B. And He's going to show them very clearly who it was that they served, that they loved, that they had believed in. And He would do it again and again. Verse 10, "But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him." There's a time that God makes available to do His will. And we know Christ always did that which was well-pleasing in the sight of His Father. And specifically here, He wanted them to see the light of Himself and the glory of His resurrection. He wanted them to see the glory of the Son of God. And so He has to tell them very clearly when they didn't understand. He says, "Lazarus is dead," verse 14. Verse 15, let's reread that. "And I am glad for your sakes." Now, this might be puzzling, but I trust it's not. "For I am glad for your sakes that I was not there." Where? With Mary, with Martha, with Lazarus. Because had he been there, what would he have done? Just his very virtue, his very power, he would have healed him. Now, it wasn't going to happen because that wasn't his will. It's not how it played out. But we see the possibility given here. It was not what happened in actuality. But he simply says, he gives them a hypothetical. He says first, "I am glad for your sakes, disciples, that I was not there." And again, for what purpose? "To the intent that ye" what? "Ye may believe." I thought they believed. Well, hold your place here. We'll come right back. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now we move forward. Now we're to the night before His crucifixion. And in chapter 14, He tells them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be agitated. Ye believe in God." Next, four words. "Believe also in me." They believed in Jesus Christ. Peter himself had said, "Thou art the Son of God." We believe. But they were not trusting Him then. And just as they were not trusting Him in John chapter 14, they were not trusting Him in John chapter 11. Beloved, we can say it this way. They were not living in the power of His resurrection. They were not abiding in Him. And so back to chapter 11. He makes His way, as we read. He comes, and Martha is the first of the sisters in which He converses. Verse 20, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. Mary stayed still in the house. Then said Martha," John 11, verse 21. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here," we've already discussed that, "my brother had not died." She understood that. She believed that. Christ had already told that to the disciples. "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Did she have faith? Yes. Did she believe in Him? Yes. And she says that. She says in verse 27, she said to Him, Lord, "I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." But was she at the very moment of this trial, of this hard time, was she living in the power of His resurrection? She was not. And so what does He do? He helps her. And He's going to help her again. He says to her in verse 23, "Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again." Now what she says in verse 24, she's spot on. She's right. Doctrinally, she is correct. "Mary saith unto Him, I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." That's Daniel chapter 12. She knew her Bible. It's one thing to have it up here in your head, but it's another thing to live it through your life. You say, "Well, it's not possible. She just couldn't have understood." She could have understood. Hold your place here. We'll come back. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel. There's many places we could turn in Daniel. Let's just go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. You kids, you children, when we go to Daniel chapter 6, what story do we read of here? Daniel 6. Daniel and what? The lion's den. All right, let's pick it up in verse 16. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel. We know the story. Daniel prayed. Even though he was told not to pray, he prayed. He did that which was well-pleasing in the sight of God. Like Peter, like John, they were told to stop preaching in that name, Acts chapter number 4. And Peter says to the council, he says, you can decide, in essence, what you think is right, but we're going to obey God. We're going to do that which God has called us to do. We can do nothing but tell what we've seen. We're going to continue preaching the resurrection of Christ. And so here, Daniel prays as he had been instructed toward Jerusalem. And so, because of his obedience to the word of God, what happens? Persecution, hardships, hard times, trials, testings. It says, now the time, verse 16, now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually will deliver thee. Now this is the fact that the king was greatly grieved. We'll see that here in a moment. Because of what he had done, the signet, his signature, as it were, to the decree. He allowed his evil men to trick him, entice him. He should have known better, but he did not. The heathen king. Verse 17. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords. It says that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night what? Fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. In his sleep what? Who was distraught? Who was worried? Who was sick to death, as it were? The king. What about Daniel? Was Daniel worried? He was not. He had the peace of God. Beloved, that's resurrection reality. My dear friend, if you're in fear of your life and death terrifies you, there's a problem. There's a problem in your heart. Believer, that ought not to be. Death ought to be great gain, great advantage, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Daniel knew he was in the hand of God. He believed the resurrection. He has not even penned chapter 12, verse 1 yet. But he yet lives in the power of God. You'll see his prayer in chapter 9. He's grieving. He's grieving at the fact that Israel, represents the nation very properly, very well. We have sinned against thee. We have done wrong, Lord. We have transgressed thy word. But yet he was a God-fearing believer. And this situation was not going to deter him from doing that which was right in the sight of Jehovah. And so he's the one that has the peace of God. He was not worried because he knew that God was in control. Could we not turn to Job chapter 19, the patriarch? And could we not read the words? I know. Well, give them to me if you could. My Redeemer liveth. We might have to turn there. But that's what he says. That's what he says. Let's keep reading back in Daniel 6. Verse number 19, it says, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel and thought he was dead. He thought he was dead. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the... Next word. Servant of the living God. Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, that's Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, and has shut the lions' mouths. Could you imagine that? Here, can you just picture again? Here's Daniel. He did the will of God. He's trusting the Lord, and he sees a pre-incarnate ministry of the Son of God. Christ, in some vision, in some form, he came, he saw the angel of the Lord. He came and he shut the lion's mouths. What a night. What a night of sweet fellowship. What a night of sweet peace. In the world's sight, that's terror. That's frightening. But not so in the child of God who is living in the reality of the resurrection. My God has sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. We could have turned to Daniel chapter 3 and seen the same thing with his three Hebrew friends. Because he believed in his God. Did you see that? Because he believed in his God. Verse number 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. Wow. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. It sounds like an epistle of Paul. Verse 26. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. And beloved, look at the next few words. For he is the, what? He is the living God. He is the living God. And steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. What a ministry by the grace of God that Daniel had to the higher ups, to the kings, the heathen kings, starting with Nebuchadnezzar and then now Darius. Let's go back quickly to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Yes. Martha should have known. She could have known. And she would know. And she would see firsthand. The Lord says to her in verse 23, we'll reread it. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. We see what Martha said there in verse 24, and she was right. But there was still a problem. There was something that was not connecting. It wasn't being applied to her life in this situation. And believer, there might be things this week that if you're not abiding in Christ, if you're not walking in the power of His resurrection, that you're going to find yourself in I'm going to find myself in the same state that we find Martha here. Walking in unbelief. Knowing all about what the Lord can do. Knowing the truth that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but yet not living that out. May the next time that begins to happen, may the Holy Spirit of God take His precious word, prick our hearts, and safeguard us from such things. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth, look at the word believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she says, yes, you know, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And of course, he talks with Mary. Now jump down to verse 38. By the way, verse 35, we said we would mention it. We'll say it again. Jesus wept because of the unbelief of the people. Look back at verse 33 before we get to verse 38. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Does not the Apostle Paul say that believers, we do not sorrow after the sorrow of the world? We don't. Why? Because of the blessed hope. Because of the resurrection. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel message. And so too, Martha, she knew better. These other Jews, some of them, I think, get saved here. Verse 42. But she knew better. She knew him personally. But she was not at this moment living it out. She was not living out her salvation, as it were. And so, Jesus weeps. He cries. He's grieved. He is overcome with grief. And the reason he's overcome with grief, beloved, the reason that his that he groaned in his spirit, verse 33, and that he was troubled, was because people had seen him. He had been with them for some nearly 3 years already on the earth, and they had not learned. They had not realized who it was that was with them. This was not his first trip to Bethany. It wasn't. This was not the first time he performed miracles among the Jews. Verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. What did that cause the Lord to do? It caused more grief because of their unbelief. Now some, we read in verse 37, of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Yes, he could have. But thank God he did not. Thank God he allowed Lazarus to die and to spend 4 days in that grave and his body to begin to stink. Verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, he cometh to the grave. Beloved, you have a picture of a weeping Savior. Weeping not because Lazarus dies, but because he was surrounded with unbelief. Unbelief on one part from his disciples, unbelief from the sisters he loved, and unbelief of the Jews. It says, verse 38, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, it wasn't one of the other Jews. It was Martha. She saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. Now this is the same lady. This is the same lady that back in verse number 21, she said, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. This is the same lady in verse 22 who says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And this is the same one who says, and that says, Lord, don't do that. Maybe show some respect to the dead. His body stinks. Don't reopen this wound again. That's this mourning, this sorrow that I'm dealing with. Don't do this. What did the Lord say to her in verse 40? Said I not unto thee, did not I tell you, that if thou wouldest, next word, believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. You see, it's not see and believe. It's believe and see. You see that, beloved? It's believe and see. It's trust when you cannot trace. That's what it is. That's what resurrection reality does for you, child of God. And you know it. You've experienced it. But we've also experienced what Martha is going through now. We need to call it what it is. It's unbelief. It's sin. And thank God. Thank God for the way in which He is long-suffering to us, like He was Martha and Mary and the disciples, and He deals with us. Verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. I knew that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people. We could say because of the unbelief of the people. Now, Christ doesn't say those words specifically. We don't want to add to His prayer. But, beloved, it's there. It's understood. Because of the people which stand by, I said that they what? Next two words. It is there. That they may believe that Thou hast sent me. And when He thus had spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus. As Pastor Jim mentioned, he was specific. And only Lazarus came forth when he cried. Verse 44, beloved, Lazarus had no choice. He came forth. Yes, indeed. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And then in verse 45, we read these words, then many of the Jews which came to Mary, they came for funeral service, but it turned into a memorial service. And of course, the memorial was more of a testimony to the glory of God, the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ brought back to life this man that had died. And through the death of one, the Lord brings life. The Lord brings life. So some believed, others, verse 46, did not believe. They did not believe. Let's go ahead and turn back, though, to that passage we referenced it, to Job chapter 19. I want you to see an example of a believer during very difficult times. James, in his epistle, is going to reference the sufferings of Job. And he references them as a means of encouragement and exhortation that believers today in the church will also be willing to suffer for the glory of God. And so in Job chapter 19, we're familiar with what's occurred, with what's happened, with what Job himself bodily is enduring, the boils from the top of his head down all the way throughout his body. The loss of his children and his possessions, even his wife. His wife was on the other side of the fence. And she said, curse God and die. But in all this, the first two chapters, it tells us very clearly that Job did not sin in that manner. Well, he was not perfect. God was obviously refining the dross in his life. But Job's testimony was, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job chapter 19, we have another testimony of Job. Now in verse 19, we read these words, all my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. Beloved, that's hard. Look at that again, in case you missed it. Job 19, verse 19, all my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. Verse 20, my bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Verse 21, have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Verse 23, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. They are. Yes, indeed. Verse 24. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. His prayer was answered. Verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Beloved, in the midst of all of these sufferings, all these trials, Job did not understand. He definitely could not trace. There's no doubt about it. But yet we see him trusting. And what was it, child of God, what was it that carried him through? It was the promise. It was the blessing, the blessed hope of the resurrection. And so he was living in the power of that resurrection. Verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I don't know why this has happened to me, but I know that this is going to happen. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Verse 27, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Oh, believer, none of us have suffered quite like Job, that's for sure. But we've all suffered in our suffering. There's divers trials. Beloved, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. What is God to have us to do? He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to rely. He wants us to rest in Him, to live in the reality of His resurrection. Beloved, it gives perfect peace. That peace, peace, peace with every beat of the heart as we hear and have heard often. That's what He does. And that's what He'll do. We can go through many portions of Scripture and see examples where believers did just that. Abraham, others. We see examples on the other side when believers are not living in that manner. We could use David, where he abided in that blessed power of the resurrection, that blessed truth. You could also turn to other parts of his life when he did not. And so we are like yo-yo sometimes as believers. But I trust that as God strengthens us and deals with us in our unbelief, as He did with His disciples, those He loved, as He's doing with us, that our faith will strengthen, that will grow, and by the grace of God, we won't linger as long as we did before in that state of unbelief, and that God will replace that unbelief with faith, increased faith, abounding faith, for His honor, for His glory.